On this episode, we discuss Jim and the Holograms.
Dan, I noticed you went out of your way not to say Jim and the Holograms, or, as your accent would normally do.
Or Jam and the Holograms.
Which sounds delicious.
But that meant I said holograms kind of weird.
Yeah, it does. That's true.
Because I was concentrating on the first part. Everyone, welcome to the Flophouse. I'm Dan McCoy.
Greetings and salutations, Dan McCoy. I'm Stuart Wellington.
All right.
I'm Elliot Kalin, and I don't know why Stuart was doing that weird voice just now.
Trying out his new nerd
for
character.
A second. I thought you were Garth from Wayne's World.
Yeah, if you saw his face, he was definitely doing one of those Garth tight lip little.
He was doing Garth.
This is a comedy show, guys. I wanted to add another character to the cornucopia of personalities that comes spilling forth.
The rogues gallery that is the Flophouse. Yeah. So you started to add copyrighted and trademarked character Garth Algar.
Garth Algar.
I think that's his last name.
No, it is.
Yeah.
Makes him sound like a science fiction author.
Yeah. Or anyone else who has a name.
good point. He's got you there. Other people have names, Dan.
Not just science fiction authors. All those authors of literary fiction were like, I wish people could know who wrote my book, but I don't have a name.
I apologize.
So it just says Literary Drone 47.
I apologize if I cough a lot during this episode. I'm getting over a cold.
And you're totally blazed.
Yeah, that's right. 420, dude.
Is it that late already?
That's right. We're recording this at 4:20 in the a.m.
on April 20th.
I have to be at work in a couple hours. I don't know why I chose this time. Seems like a bad idea all around. And I got stoned for it.
Doubly bad. If you didn't want to sleep before, you certainly do now.
Oh, boy.
You're not. And wait, so when you get totally, totally high, you don't want to just work and do stuff like Snoop Dogg? Take a couple of gravity bong rips and just...
Is that the secret of his productivity?
Yeah. He's like Popeye with spinach.
Pro-dogtivity.
Perfect.
Now, the real problem is that you're so high that your hand is trapped in a bag of Doritos. If you just let go of all those Doritos, you'll be able to pull your hand out of there. But you refuse to let go of them.
Look, I can even get those sweet Doritos. They're going to taste so good once I get them out
there.
Were
they like the spicy sweet chili flavor? Why are they sweet Doritos?
It's the new Doritos that just have sugar all over them.
Yeah.
They're called kettle Doritos.
Okay, they're kettle Doritos. Explain the rest of this chip snack to me, Dan.
Chip snack.
They combine the sweet and savory.
Okay, of like kettle corn?
Yeah, exactly.
Not like kettle chips, which would make way more sense.
See, I forgot that there was a thing called kettle chips.
Mm-hmm. We all did.
Is the missing piece of that puzzle.
Yeah, that was...
You solved it.
Okay, I guess I'll be seeing you in prison.
Another episode over of Stuart Wellington's Snack Detective. One more question. Were those nachos cheesier?
All that powdered sugar on your hands is from a miniature donut.
You've been taking real donuts and shrinking them, haven't you?
I have a snack convention to get to. Oh, that makes sense. I hear it's not easy being cheesy. That's fine.
It's not powdered sugar on my hands. It's cocaine, I swear. Oh, that feels so weird in my nose. That makes sense. You're a drug addict. That makes sense. Oh, but that's illegal too, so I'll take you in for that. Damn, my alibi was also illegal.
Wait, the first thing was illegal?
This is the universe where powdered sugar is illegal.
Oh, man. Thanks, I don't know, Aldous Huxley?
Yeah, the name of a science fiction author. Looks like that's our show, folks. Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming to UCB's Ass Cat. We'll see you next Sunday. Now, the show is free, but you do have to pay to leave. Here's the bucket of truth. We're going to pass it around. I haven't been to one of those shows in years, and I remember all the patter.
Wow.
Okay, so normally we do...
humor.
This is normally a show where we talk
in New
about...
New York, the biggest city in America, so...
So, I'm Stuart Wellington.
Okay. Let's start over.
Thanks for resetting for
us. It was the way he said his name that sidetracked us. Dan, you're coughing a lot. Are you blazed?
Wow. So this is a podcast where we watch a bad movie and we talk about it. In this case, we watched a movie called Jim and the Holograms.
Jim and the Holograms.
Mm-hmm. It's where somebody eats graham crackers that are not actually there. It's just an image.
No, I thought you said the graham crackers were hollow.
Like, oh, that would make more sense.
Like a bird's bones.
Okay.
Based on the popular 80s cartoon of the same name.
Mm-hmm. What?
Jim and the Cubert? Holograms.
The Snorks?
Cubert, yeah, I guess they did make a cartoon,
Rubik's,
right?
And it's based on Rubik's Amazing Cube.
That's my favorite one, where Rubik's Cube is an alien that can transform into different things.
Yeah, when you get the colors.
Off in a car.
I think you're making that up. I don't remember that one.
Rubik, the Amazing Cube, is a real one.
I still don't believe
Here's
it.
Not a real one. The Squimps.
How about the one?
The Squimps are lovable little characters that are very marketable. I'm willing to sell you the rights cheap. They're all sexual predators, though.
Okay, that explains why they're cheap.
So yeah. The show can't be near children. Okay. That's the only problem.
Okay, well, we'll just put it on Netflix. There's no children there, right?
You're mistaken.
What about YouTube?
Yeah, kids.
That's called a segue because this movie's all about YouTube.
Now I want to make.
It's all about you, Tube.
I'm not Tube. I know I look like a tube because of the diet I've been on, the Tube diet. Now here's I'm going to make an astonishing admission.
Okay.
I don't know that I've ever actually watched an episode of Jem and the Holograms. Mm-hmm. When I was in my 20s, suddenly people started talking about it as if it was a show everyone remembered from when they were kids. I didn't remember it at all. This is only something I've experienced through other people's nostalgia
now,
for it.
This is something that I did watch, but I've got very vague memories of.
And now I have very strong memories about other shows that no one remembers, like Dino Saucers.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Or that Mr. T cartoon where he hung around with a bunch of gymnasts for
some reason.
Everyone
remembers that one. Or Dino Riders. A lot of them are dinosaur-based cartoons.
Mm-hmm. What about Denver the Last Dinosaur?
Of course. Denver the Last Dinosaur. He's my friend and a whole lot more. Sure, I remember that one.
Wait a minute. Wait. Slow down.
It was my friend, you son of a bitch.
No, that's the more. He's everyone's friend.
What's a whole lot more mean? That seems creepy.
We're lovers. Okay. We're not just friends. Me and that guitar,
strongly implied.
That guitar-playing dinosaur that I found in a cave and I are an item.
That would be difficult because dinosaurs aren't known for having overly dexterous fingers.
I don't know. There are a lot of dinosaurs with thumb-like opposable claws.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they could have invented, I don't know, a meteor to strike the planet and kill themselves?
You're saying it was all a plot? Yeah. This is your spare change style conspiracy video. And I'd say maybe go check out the giant Dinochirus claws at the Museum of Natural History. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. But Dan, so Jem and the Holograms, you did watch it.
Yeah. Now, what I remember is, and this could be totally wrong,
okay,
but here's what I remember.
Oh, somebody will fact check it and nicely send us an email explaining how we were possibly wrong.
Probably my brother.
Jem was like this sort of high-powered business lady, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a computer called Synergy.
She's a real Sigourney Weaver and working girl type.
That turned her into a truly outrageous pop star. And then there were the Misfits.
So it's like she has it all. She's like business by day, party at night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But she needs to keep her secret identity secret for some reason.
Because rock
star.
Like
a real Hannah Montana situation. And the Misfits, whose songs are better, say themselves
in the
theme
say
song.
That. I mean, Walk Among Us is a great album.
Trying to undermine Jim. And that's all I remember.
Okay. Now, we may have talked about this before on the podcast, how dumb I think it is that the Misfits are the villain in the show, but that was a real band already.
Yeah.
And the producers of the show, I assume, knew this, or maybe they didn't.
I mean, they could have just logged onto the internet and found out.
All they'd do is check Spotify.
Yeah. I mean, you can't copyright a name, so they're like, maybe we can just
borrow the band walks
some
among
of this.
Us.
So you mean I could just start a band called the Beatles tomorrow?
Sure, man. If you had the wherewithal. You had the guts.
Oh, I was bitten by a withal, and now when there's a full moon, I become a wherewithal.
FYI, you just have to spell Beatles with two E's.
Wait a minute. Like the animals?
Yes.
Gross. Mm-hmm.
Like the animals who sang House of the Rising Sun.
Well, I mean, that's a traditional folk song.
Yeah, folks sing it.
Yeah, folks, like the animals.
So that's what I know. It was much more. It was a science fictiony pop starry show about a truly outrageous singer.
Okay,
truly, truly outrageous.
I mean, there was elements that necessitated it to be a cartoon show, right?
Yeah.
Well, for one thing, it was for kids.
And I doesn't. I mean, there's tons of shows for kids that weren't cartoons.
You're right. California Dreams.
I remember it being in my hometown. It was Happy the Hobo, where a hobo-like clown had a variety show and had kids on.
I may be wrong, but I remember it being a little like more soap opera-y than the usual cartoon. In that, I think it had like continuing storylines. Which made me interested. What about like Captain Caveman? Even though I was a boy,
no, Captain Caveman had no continuing storylines.
But he did have a club that had a little bird that came out of it.
Well, it was like a little bit of radar, like dish.
Yeah, it was like he had Inspector Gadget, but instead of being an entire man, Inspector Gadget was just his club.
Yes, exactly. It was more of a dynamite type situation.
Okay,
where all the robo stuff is in a dog.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, that makes sense.
So, Gem and the Holograms, the show, was some kind of science fiction-y stuff about a truly outrageous. You say that, I assume she says that, or it's in the
song.
Cartoon?
There's an element of...
Gem is her name. No one else is the same. Gem is her name. Gem!
This really doesn't tell you a lot about the character.
Yeah.
There's a fair amount... There's some, like, female empowerment to it, yeah?
Mm.
Well, it's set on a world where women rule and men are slaves.
And men
rule. Oh, wow. It's called Earth...
Oh.
Think about it, boys.
You blew my mind. But this is not a science fiction movie. This is unless you believe this YouTube world we live in.
No. Unless a beatboxing robot who projects holograms is science fiction, which it is. This is a movie that is not science fiction except for one very specific element, the aforementioned beatboxing robot with holograms. All right.
Let's say it's not science fiction for the
science faction, like analog.
For the first 40 minutes where there is no robot.
Okay.
Because it eliminates the whole, like, the double life stuff.
A cold glass of lemonade.
All the double life stuff is basically just because, like, Jim is too shy to...
Yeah, there's no plot reason. Well, and it's a marketing thing. Anyway, let's tell you what the movie's about, huh?
Okay, movie opens with a bunch of YouTube clips.
A bunch of YouTube clips of kids just rocking out on music.
Playing music, man.
Talking about how important music is to them. Music's their boyfriend, it's their king-size bed, all that stuff. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Leaving Brittany alone.
We are
all
introduced
that stuff.
To Jerrica, mm-hmm. our main character, who is a young singer who has very little...
Who has a weird name.
Her main personality trait is that she has a weird name, and she's a good musician.
Yeah.
Now, her dad was an inventor who was working on a robot named Synergy.
Okay.
Is there something in the cartoon called Synergy?
I think that's the hologram robot
or something?
The computer that turns Jim into a rock and roll star. A rock and roller. Real rolling rocker.
Now
in the cartoon, who drinks rolling rock.
She drinks a lot of rolling rock. Yeah.
In the cartoon,
she loved those old commercials that Mark Lynn Baker did where he was like a rolling rock professor.
What?
Do you not remember those?
He was a professor. He was a beer professor?
It was like he was or a professor of history or something. These were from like 15 years ago, maybe 16 years ago.
Hmm.
So in the cartoon, could Jem always play music and only the computer turned her into a totally outrageous
person? You are really
person?
Overestimating my memory of this thing.
So Dan, act out an episode for us.
Okay. Knock, knock. It's me, Jem.
Weird.
Hello.
Structured like a joke. I like it.
Jem who? Jem and the Holograms. The end. Deke. It's just the animation logo at the end.
For some reason, it still has a... Inspector Gadget putting the eye in the little eye dot in Deke.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because you don't lose a character like that.
No.
Then the old Marvel animation logo with Spider-Man dropping down on the Marvel logo. Those are the end of Muppet Babies a lot.
So
okay.
Where were we at?
The Muppets and Spider-Man share the same universe.
It's all part of the MCU,
I mean,
dude.
Disney owns both, so yes.
All right. I would like to see that crossover.
I mean, I wait like 6 months and it'll probably happen. But it'll be in a video game where Mickey is a wizard or something. And by Mickey, I mean Mickey Dolenz from The Monkees. Voice of Arthur on the Tick.
Right. Okay. That's
okay.
A fact.
Cartoon version.
About a thing that's true.
Anyway.
That's what a fact is.
Jerrica.
Jerrica.
That's a fact about a thing that's true. That's what a fact is. So Jerrica is a girl. Her dad passed away, but before that, he was working on a robot. And her younger sister live with her aunt, played by...
Molly Ringwald, 80s star, Jem herself, basically.
At the right time, she would have been Jem.
Yeah.
But now, unfortunately, because of Hollywood's ageism, she cannot play Jem. She can only look kind of like Carol Burnett in movies like this. Now, they live with her aunt, Molly Ringwald and her aunt's two foster daughters, who have, I don't remember what their names are.
Aja. Named after the Steely Dan album.
Mm-hmm. Right? And who is the other one?
I don't remember because she's not named after Deacon Blues.
Two Against the World. And so they like to sing. They like to hang out. But no one likes to sing and play guitar more than Jerrica. She was taught to sing and play guitar by her dad. He's dead. He made a robot. Mm-hmm. Anyway, one day she is surreptitiously.
And her little sister is crazy about putting stuff on the internet.
She loves posting things.
That's her primary hobby.
She's always Pinteresting and Periscoping and Instagramming and YouTubing mm-hmm. and Pornhubbing and Pets.comming and Stamps.comming and Soap.comming and WhiteHouse.goving mm-hmm. and Wikipedia.orging and
Podcasting,
Yahooing, Lycosing, Asking Jeeves,
Angel firing,
GeoCitiesing, Netscaping, Landscaping,
News grouping,
Rec.art.whatevering. Prodigying, DARPA-netting.
How many more can you do?
I can't think of any more. Did I say America Onlining?
No.
America Onlining, mm-hmm. You've Got Mailing, Tom Hanks and Meg Ryaning. It's really about bookstores. Anyway, it doesn't make any sense. She surreptitiously records Jerrica singing and playing guitar, and then Jerrica says, delete it, and she says, okay, and then doesn't delete it. Instead,
we've all been there, am I right, guys?
She posts it on the YouTube.
What is that? I'm
trying to look pretty creepy right now.
I mean, you were creepy earlier when you did that Garth face.
Garth face is offensive, by the way.
Sure. Pretending to be a Garth for humor. Yeah.
It's okay for Garth. It's not okay for you.
Garths can say that. They can say the G word, Garth.
Mm-hmm. That's what? Just Dana Carvey?
Yeah, that's right.
And Garth Vader.
You have to try to be kind of like a teenager, but also kind of like a turtle, and that's how you be a Garth.
Yeah, teenager plus turtle equals Garth or ninja.
Yeah.
The decider is if you're a mutant or not. The Venn diagram is Garth overlaps with turtle for teenager, but not for ninja or mutant. Anyway, so Jerrica's video goes viral like the plague in the stand. Everybody's seen it. Everybody loves it.
Captain Trips.
Everybody's talking about. And does she call herself Gem in it? I don't remember where the Gem name came from.
Her sister uploads it under Gem Unplugged.
There was something about how her, like, I think her dad called her his little Gem.
And the sister doesn't know how to spell it.
Yeah.
Because he was one of those guys who's great with, like, science, but not with writing.
Right.
No.
It's like, you know how to spell the word gem.
Like Albert Einstein. His novels were terrible.
I mean, his first one's okay. There's a lot of sex scenes in it, but otherwise.
it's overly wordy.
Yes.
We can all agree on that.
Yeah.
Too many flashbacks, playing with time and characters.
Cool it on the adverbs, Einstein.
I'm a fan of his horror anthology equals MC Scared. But he didn't write most of those. He just, like, put his name on the series, you know. Mm-hmm. Every now and then he'd toss in a story, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, the video goes crazy, and suddenly everyone wants to know, who's this Gem? Who's this Gem? What's this Gem all about? When are we going to hear more music from this Gem? Gem.
She is an overnight sensation.
But will become an overnight sensation if she doesn't play her cards right. It won't. Juliette Lewis, who is some kind of big record mogul, she shows up and just bustles into Gem's life.
You guys
says,
totally thought it was Parker Posey from the bottom of her heels.
When all we saw
from
was her,
her legs and she was talking, and we thought it was
knowing
Parker
that
Posey.
Parker Posey played essentially the same character in Josie and the Pussycats.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be her, but it wasn't. It was Juliette Lewis. And so
she's the only person who seems to be having any fun in this movie.
Because she's playing the villain.
I think later on when Ryan Hansen comes in, I think he's pretty good.
And also the girls seem to have fun like dressing
that
up.
That robot's having fun.
That robot was having too much fun.
He's going crazy.
Now we're never going to get to the robot if you don't let me.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so she signs Gem and the girls, her sisters, to a contract. But they've got to play the character of Gem and her unnamed backup band. There's a lot of mystery. Who is Gem? And she signs them to a contract that says, you're going to play a bunch of live performances as the character of Gem. I'm not going to pay you till after the last performance.
Checks
out. Sounds pretty standard.
I could have a lawyer check out this contract, but I trust you,
but I'm just
lady.
A kid. I don't know nothing about the law.
I'm just a minor.
You can pay me in chicken nuggets.
It's in the contract. Oh, why am I negotiating against myself? Give me fewer chicken nuggets. No, what am I doing? I need the ghost of Daniel Webster to help me. This is not the kind of law I'm really familiar with. We didn't have recording contracts.
I'm not really a contract lawyer. I'm more into ghost law.
I mean, I was just an orator. I wasn't even really a lawyer, I don't think.
I mean, we could poke holes.
No, he was a lawyer. I'm sorry. He was a lawyer. That's a history note. That's a history note.
We could poke holes in the, like, reality of this movie. Or
and we will.
Like, check our brains at the door and have fun, right?
Yeah, come on.
Pop some corn.
I mean, science says that the universe is probably just a three-dimensional hologram, so Jem's kind of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which actually, I guess, does turn out to be the moral at the end. But, so here's the thing about this movie. It plays by a lot of rules that if this was an out-and-out movie musical,
yeah,
I would not be bothered by at all. But because it's not a musical, it's just a movie that has music performances in it, I am a little bothered by it. So when the characters break into
a song that responds exactly to something that someone else has said, or they can suddenly harmonize in when they're supposedly improvising lyrics.
Yeah.
Or cope with a like a sudden catastrophe when their band breaks up.
Yeah.
And that all of Jem's songs directly comment on what's going on in her career at that moment in the movie. If this was just a
shows how universal Jem's music is, Elliot.
If this was just Jem the musical, I'd be like, no problem, not an issue I have with this.
If this was the bandwagon, you'd be like, yeah.
If it was the bandwagon, I'd be like, this is not as good a movie as people say.
That's true.
But if it was Singing in the Rain, I'd be like, yeah.
Wow.
Doot, 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 doot. Because that's that yeah song, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Usher and Ludacris sing that song, yeah.
Which one of them did the doot, 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 doot part?
I'm assuming that's Usher. He's got the singing voice. Okay, he's got the real chops.
He's the star. So they get signed on this contract. They start playing shows. They're a hit. And the record executive's son, played by the boy next door.
Yep.
The boy, the
from
guy
the
was
movie, in, The Boy Next Door.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant the guy who lived next door to me.
Yeah. Oh, who did live next door to you?
Yeah, his name's Wilson. You never see the bottom of his face.
That's right.
Boom.
Because he's a volleyball.
A lot of great advice, though.
Wait, I got two Wilsons mixed up in my head.
He gives me a lot of great advice about how to bump, how to set, how to spike.
Oh, wow.
Those are pretty much his three things that he knows how to do. Yeah.
Don't hit it out. Oh, okay. Good advice, Wilson.
Well, yeah. Thanks. Oh, you're floating away.
I'm
See
not
you
a,
later.
Not a volleyball, an actual person, Dan. Funny volleyball.
Sure thing, Wilson.
Sure, I'll just gonna bat you like a regular ball. Ow, that's my head. And then it turns out at the end is a Tyler Durden type situation, and you were Wilson the whole time.
Yeah.
Really makes
you're,
you think,
you're thinking about it.
Wait.
It's called Spike Club.
What?
Anyway, so they find out that there's a robot that their dad built called Synergy.
Yeah, yep. Hold on. This movie suddenly has a robot in it.
He activates kind of out of nowhere and he starts
relaying. It looks like one of those Earth to Echoes.
Yeah, he's a big Earth to Echo. He has robot ears and he beatboxes a lot. He loves music.
And clearly batteries are not included.
They don't need to be because he runs on his own power. And when you jump into water with him and swim underwater with him, he's fine. Even though he's protected by naught but a burlap backpack with an opening in the front. So he starts giving them clues for a scavenger hunt that her dad put together before he died. Mm-hmm. And the scavenger hunt, for whatever reason, also seems to correspond with locations that help them with Jem's career.
Yep.
To make a long story short, she starts falling for the guy who's her chaperone.
I mean, he's a super hunk.
The boss of the record company is meaner and meaner as time goes on. Jem becomes a huge sensation.
Mm-hmm.
And
after one show.
After one show, they have another show. They have one at their first show. The power goes out for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, we didn't see it because Archie stepped on the controller to the Apple TV.
That's right.
Which switched the function over to Apple TV.
Dan, Archie was being a real that darn cat tonight.
Archie is always that darn cat. I often say that. I say, you darn cat. And Archie says, meow.
Mm-hmm.
But
Archie's
does,
not
but,
much of a conversationalist.
But not like this. Meow. He says, meow, yeah. Like a human would.
And you roll up a newspaper.
I'm beginning to suspect Archie is a man in a cat costume.
Oh, like when Teller was on that episode of Dharma and Greg.
What?
He was like another character's cat, and the other characters and like our heroes could tell it was a guy dressed up like a cat, but the cat's owner could not.
That was a much more surreal show than I ever suspected it was.
Occasionally. There was also an episode where they get caught pretending to be Southern in a store, and they just keep pretending, and at the end Al Gore comes and has dinner with them, but not real Al Gore, like an actor playing Al Gore.
Okay.
It was a weird show. But anyway, they're on the scavenger hunt. They're at their first
anyway,
show.
Anyway, our Dharma and Greg cast.
Yeah, do we want to talk more about Dharma and Greg?
The power goes out, and she has seen that there in this venue there's a bunch of guitars on the wall. I assume victims of earlier guitar killers or performers.
It's like the guitar player got excited after his performance and just threw it up in the air, and it stuck to the wall.
Yeah, like a constellation being formed by Hercules hurling a bear into the sky. And one of the guitars has a clue in it from her dad, and she's inspired by that to just play acoustically, and the show goes on, and it's a huge hit. Everyone at the shows seems to know her songs before she's premiered them, but whatever. If it was a musical, that wouldn't bother me.
Now I missed. Maybe I spaced out. Now, you said a clue. Did you specify that her dad has created this weird scavenger hunt?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, in each of these clues, there's also a message like, create your destiny or use your talents, which normally you'd have to eat a Chinese meal to get a message like that. But no,
you'd have to go to the dentist and see a poster up on the ceiling.
Normally you'd have to get sent to the guidance counselor's office. But no, here you merely have to go on a scavenger hunt around LA with a robot. And so there's a lot of nonsense. They find out their aunt is possibly going to lose their home because they haven't been paid yet because they are not being paid till the end of the tour. And it's not the end of the tour.
They kind of forget about that, though, right?
Wallace thing. What?
They kind of forget about the whole house. A lot. Except, it feels like there's not a lot of steaks for most of the movie.
No, they never eat steak.
Nobody eats steak.
Sorry, I jumped in on that one. But there's no, the steaks are, for most of the movie, the steaks are, is Jem going to be the biggest star ever or the biggest superstar? Like, is she merely the next Madonna or is she the next Christ? That's the stakes. Until the family needs money fast. So she asks the boss for an advance, and the boss says, sure, if you sign this solo contract, we don't want the other girls. We just want Jem. And she signs it because she needs the money. Does she tell her family why she's doing it? No, of course not.
And then they immediately break up, which is kind of great because normally in this type of movie – they would, you know, a movie about superstar rockers with their pet robot. They would make the lead singer, the star, kind of slowly change over time, and it stopped to be about the music and more like this, this one person show. But this movie does away with that, and they're like, we're gonna have this conflict happen super fast and get out of the way, have the band break up with her, and then have her change her mind within like 15 minutes.
She
maximum.
Does a show that goes, if anything, better than the other shows. Like, she's clearly a solo artist.
Yeah, it's just like very like Lady Gaga performance-y thing with she's got a crazy outfit on. There's a bunch of gymnasts going around.
There's dancers behind. I mean,
there's full
dancers.
Choreography. Nobody seems to notice that her sisters aren't there.
No, because Jem is what they're there for.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, the boss is making a pretty good point. Like, there are a number of artists whose career took off when they became solo artists and left their bands or
families.
Give
me an example.
Andrew Jackson.
Andrew Jackson.
No, Michael Jackson.
Okay.
Or we were imagining that David Byrne shows up and tells her that you were right to leave that group. You were the talented one. Now you should get weird and do a lot of music that no one really wants to hear that much.
Yeah, get together with David Brian Eno
or David Eno, Brian's brother.
Yeah,
the three of you. Sends Brian Eno letters
just
about
get together
sports.
For dinner.
Yeah, he's usually recording albums with Stung, former singer of the Pollies.
The Pollies, which was a polio string cheese based band.
Get together with Brian Eno and just get him to start. You know,
why don't you guys go with Blues Trapper?
That's right.
Or the Rolling Scones.
Jarvis Nerves.
Have you heard about that new girl piano player, Millie Joel?
Yeah, that was Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin.
That's not even as good as Led Zeppelin. No. Led Zeppelin. I'll watch Led Zeppelin cover band. Okay, so what are we talking about?
She goes back to her old house that she grew up in, where her name is...
Because she follows the sign that her father left her, which looks eerily like... an elder sign from the H.P. Lovecraft mythos.
Yes, but it's also, it looks like something that they drew in the cement outside their old house. Her sisters show up. Hey, the band's back together. And they, and then the chaperone shows up. Hey, I found you guys. And they go, oh, the last clue was in some earrings that my dad gave me. But the earrings, because they were taken away when I was made over into Jem, are in a safe for some reason at the record headquarters.
Yeah, instead of just throwing them in the garbage, Juliette Lewis has put them in a little like jewelry box.
Like a little golden sarcophagus.
Because I assume she thought Jem's ka was in there. Mm-hmm. And so that Jem could travel safely to the other world. Mm-hmm. The other world being, of course, Access Hollywood.
Luckily, she's found her ka tet. Stephen King's The Dark Tower coming to theater soon. In her sisters and her new boyfriend. And they travel to this mystical place called Starlight Enterprises or whatever.
Yeah, Starlight Records. Now, here's the weird. Here's something I didn't understand is that Juliette Lewis's son, who is their chaperone, he works for the company. His mom runs it. And you'd think he could just walk in and say, hey, I have to go up to the offices with Jem, the biggest star on the, that we have signed to us. But instead, they sneak in and break into the office.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make sense. They break into her safe and they find the only copy of
You would have thought that if you're going to do this in this movie where you have a fucking robot character, have the robot be integral to, like...
The robot
is... You got a BB-8 on your hands here, guys.
And you're treating him like a BB-1. Exactly. You're treating him like a ZZ nothing. Not even a ZZ top, a ZZ bottom.
Mm-hmm.
ZZ bottom. He's a really bearded guy who, you know... You know,
he's always sleeping.
You know,
his head, he gets the head of an ass.
I'm just saying, in the bedroom, you know,
with Titania. I'm talking about a different type of bottom than you are. That's right.
I was talking about bottom from Midsummer Night's Dream, who's always sleeping. Okay. That's why it's ZZ, because it's Z's.
That's what I was talking about too. Dan was talking about the sexual position, the one who
named after
receives.
The popular Shakespearean character.
Was that what he was?
Yeah.
I guess I missed the scene in A Midsummer Night's Dream where Titania puts a strap on and then does bottom. But now I understand why he was so surprised when he woke up.
That's why he says "ill met by moonlight, Titania." He doesn't say that. That's Oberon, but. For the purposes of this joke, that's why he says it.
It says, ill met my moon, Titania.
Oh.
And Oberon says, you never do that with me. No wonder he's so mad.
Yeah. Wow.
So
we've come up with some kind of what, like, penthouse porno version of Midsummer Night's Dream, where Puck is called, like, fuck and things like that.
Well, I'm not even trying.
Well, it's for a penthouse. Why am I trying?
This is like a little Annie Fanny version.
Yeah. Anyway, so they get in there. They manage to crack the password for the safe, which is Juliette Lewis's character's name.
Yeah, that is a terrible password. That's like the first thing they tell you not to use is your password.
Yeah, any professional security guy will tell you, throw some numbers in there. Maybe some punctuation marks. Don't just use your name. But they also find...
Put a 1, 2, 3 after that.
Yeah, if you're gonna do Stuart, use like a dollar sign instead of an S.
Yep.
And like a V instead of a U. And like 5 exclamation points, because Stuart's worth it.
You want to yell it out.
Yeah, exactly.
They find a copy of his dad's will, and in which he leaves the whole company to him. It says he leaves the company to the mother, but the son has the ability to choose to take the company whenever he feels he is ready for it, which is a strangely worded clause.
He found hippiness at the end of his life.
And it's time for the last big Jem show, and Jem and the hologram, Jem and the girls are back together, and there's
a couple of great little character scenes with like a valet character, and then like Ryan Hansen as an overly enthusiastic security guard character.
And one thing,
but you skipped over before the final show, there's the payoff for the big scavenger hunt, where
that's right.
She puts her earrings in Synergy. And she's rewarded with a hologram of her dad.
Who tells her he's proud of her and he loves her.
Yeah.
He says, I can't believe you made all the logical leaps necessary to complete this puzzle.
You would be great at Myst.
Yeah. You'd be great at the old Batman series where the Robin is Batman are able to put together the Riddler's puzzles.
Yeah. There was one of the puzzles where the answer was, one of the riddles, the answer was, a canary with a machine gun. Mm-hmm. And even as a kid, I was like, that's not a real riddle. Come on.
Yeah.
What was the answer to the riddle?
the answer to the riddle was a canary. The question was like, what has wings and fires or something like that.
Is there a canary character in the Batman?
No, it was just a goofy thing.
Okay.
Because they didn't have respect for the Batman franchise. This is the Dark Knight Detective. Come on.
Yeah. Rated R.
For Robin. At
your DVD shelf.
Hopefully soon.
Because there's been a shit ton of Batman movies.
Mm-hmm, that's true. There was Batman, Batman Again, Batman 2, Batman, what? Another Batman.
Still batting it.
Batman 2, Electric Bataloo. There was Batman versus Megalon. There was Batman in the Temple of Bats. There was Batman meets Howard the Duck, Part 3, Revenge Batman, of Spock.
Back in Bat.
There was...
Bat to the Future, the Batman Chronicles.
Major League, Batman's on the team now. There was Night Bat, Bat Knight.
I mean, that makes sense because they use bats.
Oh, man, it's a bat.
Is that Batman? No, it's not. Oh, wait, yes, it is. The movie. Let's not forget Alice in
Batman.
Hey,
remember
Batman
when I said that was Batman?
Hey, look,
I was
behind
right.
You. It's Batman.
Batman, the movie, which was a movie about going to see the first Batman movie. There was Ratman. There was
Bratman about the sausage.
There was Scatman, in which Scatman Crothers
breaks his shit on people.
A rich playboy is sitting and he says, I shall dress up to scare criminals, and Scatman Crothers flies through the window. Ah, I will become a Scatman.
Scoobity bop, skiddy bop, scoobop.
So he would sidle up to muggers and alleys and go, you know, I was in The Shining, and then beat them up.
And they hit him with an axe, and he's like, my one weakness.
An axe to the stomach. You saw The Shining, didn't you? So she gets a message from her dad saying he loves her. It takes a long time. And as I mentioned to you guys while we were watching it, I'm the only one of the Flophouse hosts who has a child. If anything, I should be touched most deeply.
Damn you for touching my secret pain.
That was your secret pain?
That's right, this whole time.
You really wanted children?
No, I don't. Don't try and send me any. Dan's I don't want any.
No, you're getting children in the mail.
No. Oh, God. Ugh.
Children
right.
of the corn, that is.
What am I going to feed
them?
That's
terrible.
They like cat food, right?
I mean, they probably would, but don't do that.
Okay.
As someone with a child, the idea of not surviving to see them grow up and become an adult is terrifying to me. And yet, my reaction to this scene was, ugh.
Well, it doesn't help that it is interminable.
It goes on forever, and by that point, you just want the movie to end.
This is a two-hour movie.
You sat through 2 hours of mostly montages
and the holograms,
and like
2 hours
power
long.
Pop.
Yeah, on a set, like unrelated YouTube clips.
Yeah, there's a lot of YouTube clips that are used sometimes as like the soundtrack. But you have a YouTube clip of someone playing music or playing the drums or whatever, or some dance routine, and that's used on the soundtrack to score a scene. And I kind of like that as a technique, even though it wasn't used great here.
It wasn't your tempo.
It was not my tempo. I kept holding my hand up, but the movie wouldn't stop. So I threw a chair at the movie. I broke your TV, Dan. I'm sorry. But it's the movie just takes forever. So they go to the final show. They defeat the bad person. They're doing the last performance, and they say, hey, you know what? You know who Jem is? It's everybody. It's anyone who has courage in a dream. You're Jem, and you, and you, and you. Now let's
There's
rock
a little Godzilla
this place.
Inside of all of us.
Yeah, just like at the end of Godzilla 2000.
That's happened to me the last couple of times I've gone to rock shows. Is the band gets up there and they're like,
you know who Gorguts is? It's you and you.
No.
You know we're not Sacrifix. Yeah. You're Sacrifix.
And everybody cries and raises their lighters. I guess I don't know. They sing along and grab the person closest to them that they took to the Sacrifix show.
You know, let's put the lights up on the house. I'm not Seal. You're Seal. I'm not Seal. What are you talking about?
No, you are. You sang Kiss from a Rose.
You're a Seal for all legal purposes.
Touch this skull with me. You're Seal now.
And now you've got all my jets.
Be in this fountain with me, everyone.
I'm free. Free of the curse of being married to Heidi Klum.
I think he was free of that years ago.
I forgot. I think they split up. Yeah. Anyway.
He's probably hanging out with Salman Rushdie complaining about their former wives that are also former models.
And reality show hosts.
Yeah.
Reality competition.
They probably
shows.
Have a lot to talk about.
They're best friends. Seal and Salman Rushdie. Salman Rushdie calls
the seal and salmon.
Well, Salman Rushdie calls Seal of Approval, and Seal calls Salman Rushdie Premium Rush. That's just because they're nicknames for each other. Runs in Being John Malkovich, how Charlie Sheen calls John Malkovich Malcatraz. That was such a funny nickname for him. Anyway, long story short, the show goes great. The editor of Rolling Stone sidles up to, I guess, the new head of the record company, and she says, yep. Hey, Jem's great. What's the name of the band? He looks down at the hologram projecting robot that no one else can notice, and he goes,
no.
Jem and the Holograms? Smash cut. Credits. We're done. On to mid-credit scene where the villain, she goes to like an alleyway under a bridge. She's deep into Delta City territory.
Yeah, she's going to go see some skells.
Yeah, she's in the Soylent Green area where the people are like, or no, she's in the part of Logan's Run where it's just teenagers who kill each other.
She's going to see Edgar Friendly and the rest of the people who spray paint Taco Bells in the future.
And she hires the Misfits, not the band The Misfits, again, but the characters.
Yeah, once again.
Which sets us up for, I guess, J2, Jem and the Holograms, which would be the sequel that will never happen.
And did we already talk about how the director's planning on crossing this over with G.I. Joe and Transformers?
He has announced his intentions, and because very often...
What about the Cowboys of Moo Mesa? Is that in the same...
More the same level. Very often, the producers of huge franchises like Transformers or G.I. Joe will say, yeah, let's cross over with a flop of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same reason that the Spider-Man movies crossed over with I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry.
That was a huge hit.
That's true. Spider-Man married Chuck, but he was in love with Larry.
Oh, weird.
So the
Jan's
end of the
looking
movie.
Concerned. Jan and the is it because the movie's over?
And because we're going too long?
No, we should probably get into final judgments.
Okay, well, it's sounding positive, but I don't want to. I want to hedge my bets.
Whether this is a good bad movie, a bad bad movie, or a movie kind of like. I'm going to say about this movie that it should have been 88 minutes at the most.
Should have been the movie 88 minutes? With Al Pacino?
And it should have had...
Is that the TikTok doc one?
I think it is,
I didn't even watch that.
Should have had a crazy computer, and it should have had a lot more fun and a lot less YouTube, and it just bored the shit out of me.
Yep. So I didn't really, I definitely saw an episode of Jem and the Holograms, but I didn't really bring a lot of that baggage in with me.
Mm-hmm. And so it was probably a better viewing experience for you, right?
Yeah, I was kind of put off by the sheer amount of YouTube clips and the kind of interesting cinematography with a lot of like handheld, almost documentarian style. And it was still pretty boring, and I don't remember much that happened. Although I was excited about a few interesting character turns, but I will say, bad, bad movie.
I gotta say, I was excited to watch this movie,
well,
by the way.
This was
like one of the least successful movies of all time.
This should have been a really crazy, silly movie, and instead it was a very by-the-numbers girl becomes a rock star movie.
Yeah.
With a robot that projected holograms, and somehow that... didn't make the movie crazy.
Imagine the most boring version of a robot that projects holograms being in a movie.
Like, I guess it just projects eye tests, like eye charts, or like test patterns.
It projects its own user agreement.
Oh, that is so boring. And you got to keep scrolling through it.
Yeah.
I don't want to just click the box because I don't want to say I'm agreeing to something I don't agree with.
Yeah, come on. You don't
I got to keep
up.
It real, dogs.
Yeah, but this was a very dull movie. Jem and the Dullograms. Jem and the Telegrams? What if it was set in the 19th century? It was called Jem and the Telegrams.
Podcasts.
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 They're audio programs that
tell smart stories
in innovative ways
using editing techniques like this.
Like this.
Like this.
Like this. Like this.
But let's face it, all that smart stuff can be exhausting.
That's where Stop Podcasting Yourself comes in.
It's so stupid.
It's just two stupid dinguses
being dumb idiot jerks for 90 minutes.
Stop Podcasting Yourself.
The stupid show that smart people love.
Find it on iTunes
or MaximumFun.org.
We've got some sponsors tonight.
Woo! Woo! So we're in for a little bit of Flophouse housework, buddies.
Ba-dan-dan-dan-dan-dan-dan-dan-dan-dan.
Nice branding.
Some home improvement music.
So
I haven't heard that one in a while.
Tonight, the Flophouse is supported in part by Squarespace, the simplest way to create a compelling website. From the strange to the downright bizarre, great stories define us. You should tell yours with simple tools and templates. Squarespace helps you capture your story with a captivating website. You can start your free trial today by visiting squarespace.com/flop. You should Squarespace.
A rare no introductions section of Dan's speech.
No introductions. Right. I think you mean interruptions.
We didn't introduce the fact that this was a Squarespace ad because why do that?
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you a Squarespace advertisement? Squarespace.
Presented by Squarespace.
Listeners, Squarespace, Squarespace listeners. I'll let you guys get to know each other while I fix some drinks.
So this is what it makes. This is what it feels like to make fun of someone for missaying something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that why my
sort
face
of an empty
is
experience? Actually,
I find it
like
very
it so
fulfilling. Now, here's the thing:
my face is beet red. My knees are knocking together. Do people like me or do they hate me?
They like you.
Oh, well, that's great.
Now, just to remind people, I am using Squarespace for my new site, WernerHerzog'sUrethra.gov, and I'm Squarespace's interface is so easy to use. I don't need to know coding. It's responsive to the different mediums. I'm having trouble getting the .gov suffix, but I think I can convince Prez Obama to do it, and if he won't, Prez Trump will do it.
And you can load tons of pictures on that piece so people know what they're looking at.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm going to have an interactive map of Werner Herzog's urethra in case you get stuck in it sometime. There's going to be an interview with his urologist, video interview. There's going to be live streaming web footage from the camera placed inside his.
And this
urethra
is all set up through Squarespace. That sounds great.
Entirely through Squarespace. I mean, there's a lot of text too. I mean, because there's excerpts from his peeing diary. A lot of people don't know that Werner Herzog keeps a piss diary of every time he urinates. It's something he picked up from Klaus Kinski, and it's just going to be a really, really exciting site.
And there's also
thanks
that
Squarespace.
There's that one section that's all just like your favorite quotes from historical figures.
About urethras.
Oh, that's what they're about? I just thought they were all inspirational. So I wanted you guys to know that also, listeners at home, the Flophouse is also supported.
Supported, all
oh,
right.
Oh, no, what happened?
What have you wrought?
No. Oh, that stupid gypsy.
they don't like to use the word gypsy.
Okay.
McCoy syndrome is catching.
That stupid Romani.
Thank stupid you. Ray Romani from Everybody Loves Romani.
What's the deal with that Seinfeld?
Is that Ray Romano doing an impression of Seinfeld? I'm talking about Seinfeld.
Yeah. Okay, we've had some laughs here tonight, but the Flophouse is supported in
let's
part.
Let's get serious for a moment.
Let's buckle down, because the Flophouse is supported by Mack Weldon.
Oh, okay.
Now, here at the Flophouse, we like to be comfortable.
You know it.
When we finish recording at night and get ready to climb into our giant three-person bed, we like to slip into some comfortable clothes. Comfortable underclothes.
You're making me feel uncomfortable.
That's what Mack Weldon provides.
I thought we were supposed to feel comfortable.
Yeah, Stuart, you're making
Am I making you guys uncomfortable?
A little bit.
Okay, yeah. Well, Mack Weldon will make you feel very comfortable. They provide comfortable underwear, socks, sweats that look great and feel fantastic.
Again, I mean, speaking of someone who's wearing Mack Weldon under things right now, they are very comfortable, but you are making me uncomfortable.
Now, your comfort is very important, both to me, Stuart from the Flophouse, and to Mack Weldon. That's why, if you don't like your first pair of underwear, you can keep it, and they will still send you a refund. No questions asked, like here at the Flophouse.
Wait, we're going to refund people for the unused portion of their podcast?
Yeah, but they don't pay anything, so it's
okay.
Yeah,
so
it's me, Mack Weldon. Hey, buddy. Me, Mack. Just saying, underpants are what I like to think about. Underpants on you.
Now, what are you guys waiting for? Why don't you go over to MackWeldon.com to get 20% off by using the promo code FLOP, FLOP.
It's very comfortable clothing.
Now, I want to say, before we even had them as a sponsor, I had some Mack Weldon socks.
Yeah.
And you know that you're an adult when you stop being disappointed when you get new socks and start being excited when you
That's
get
true.
New socks.
Yep.
Very true.
And I was extra excited when I got these Mack Weldon socks because they are sharp looking and they are durable and they're comfortable.
I want to get real with you guys for a second. Can I get real with you?
Okay.
Is it possible?
So when I got my first pair of Mack Weldon underwear in the mail, I put them on, but I accidentally put them on inside out, and they still felt really great.
I don't know how that's possible to do.
You really had like I'm a bad little boy face on when you said that.
Who cares? Deal with it.
They are very, very comfortable underwear.
I don't play by your rules.
So, Dan, why don't you just tell them to use the promo code?
Yeah, use the promo code FLOP to get 20% off.
Now, don't go to macwelding.com. You cannot fix a Mac computer with a welding torch. I learned that the hard way.
Yeah. Go to Mack Weldon. That's MackWeldon.com. But we have a couple messages up on the Jumbotron this week. First off, the Let Me Listen family of podcast productions. Well, I'll explain the Jumbotron afterwards.
Because we've done this is like the second time we've done it, so people won't be like, "What's that?"
Explain it to me, Dan. I'm dumb.
All right. Well,
yeah, Stuart's on the Dumbotron.
No, let me get me through these first.
It's a little racist
now. And then I'll get
overruled.
I'll get back.
This judge won't allow it.
So we got a couple messages on the Jumbotron. This first one is listen to the Let Me Listen family podcast productions, the storytelling comedy brawl podcast. Let Me Finish. The Tardy Movie Review Podcast, Late Seating, and the improv comedy podcast series American Monsters and How to Destroy Them. And you can listen to these by searching for the Let Me Listen podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud.
How do you spell that?
Stitcher, or visit our website, www.letmelistenpodcast.com. That's LEMME Listen Podcasts. And we have another message.
Yeah, go bend your ear to those guys.
For another podcast.
And whatever.
Who cares?
The Greatest Generation is a Star Trek podcast by two guys who are a bit embarrassed to have a Star Trek podcast. Every Monday and Wednesday, Ben and Adam catch you up on an episode of Star Trek, The Next Generation, in a nostalgic look at a seminal television show. And by seminal, we're talking about what Riker's leaving behind on the holodeck. Gross.
Oh, gross.
You don't have to watch the show to enjoy the podcast, so join the thousands of listeners who already do and subscribe to The Greatest Generation now. And you can do that by going to The Greatest Generation on iTunes or at gagh.biz. And if you want to get a message up on the Jumbotron, it's easy. Go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron. And for $200 for a commercial message or $100 for a personal message, you can get a little promotion at a reasonable price.
And you get to hear our sweet voices say stuff.
Well, Dan's sweet voice.
And we interrupt him. That's part of the game.
That's true. You interrupt a good game, boy. But now you... sir, can I have a question for you? He interrupted Angus Scrimm.
R.I.P. Bear with me for a little bit longer, because I know that we've done a lot of...
Is that bear going to be with you a little bit longer?
I hope so, because that bear is Gooby. And he's a magical bear.
Yeah.
That I love very much. And he helps me
foil
Eugene Levy. I can't remember what happened
in
that
movie. Did they cover
movie.
Eugene Levy with foil? I actually didn't see that episode. Or I wasn't here for that episode.
Was Eugene Levy even in Gooby?
He was definitely in that.
Okay.
I remember him being lifted off the ground by a crane, but that could be...
That could be any number of, yeah. of Eugene Levy
be,
movies.
What, Bringing Down the House?
Yeah.
Well, that's the one where he was straight tripping Boo.
All right. No, I just wanted to say one last message, and that is that the 2016 Max Fun Drive is just around the corner. In fact,
you can see it on the horizon from where ye standin'.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ahoy! Two bells.
Ahoy, McCoy.
You should join us for the best 2 weeks in podcasting and show your support for the Flophouse and Maximum Fun. We're going to have a great Max Fun Con episode. Next episode.
Episode is also what?
Our 200th episode.
What?
So, what have I done with my life?
We've got something
head exploded.
Crazy planned, and we've got a very special guest.
That's right. It's finally the all nude episode we're doing.
Yeah, that's right.
Finally.
Well, you've
always been all nude.
We're going to put down a tarp and just see what happens.
Ooh. A lot of rainwater is going to collect in weird places. Yeah, it's our 200th episode. 200 episodes.
So now we get to go into syndication, right? That's what happens?
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. We're going to be on...
That's when money starts rolling in.
We're going to be on TBS in the middle of the day.
Yep, us and Supernatural and Las Vegas with the main character, Danny McCoy.
Coming up next...
What?
Wicked. And then The Flophouse.
Yeah, you should look forward to the 200...
Oh, no, Charmed, I'm thinking.
200th episode.
Wicked is a Broadway show.
Charmed is also a Broadway show.
Ah, damn.
We've got a great show planned. I'm very excited for next.
I can tell you sound excited. You've dialed it up all the way to 3.
What's the use? Why bother?
This has been Eeyore with the Flophouse.
You know me. That's a Dan McCoy 11.
You know me. You don't know my family.
I'm Dan McCoy. You know me, everybody. I hate everything.
That's right.
I'm like Marvin the Android, everything? But a person. Yeah, he eats everything.
And you know me, Seabiscuit, the world's most popular horse.
That's the horse who announces himself.
I gotta go.
Wow. We have all these reoccurring characters this episode before our 200th episode.
We really should save them for the 200th. Yeah.
But, so we've got...
The excitement that comes with yawning while talking.
I just get really happy when Seabiscuit stops by. Mm-hmm. So we've got exclusive gifts for new and upgrading members during the Max Fun Drive.
We've seen some, and they look cool.
They are amazing. We can't talk about them just yet, but there's one at the $10 a month level that I'm particularly excited about.
It's got Dan Cream in his jeans.
No, don't ever say that. That's horrible. And he's wearing pajama pants, so it's factually inaccurate.
I remember hearing that phrase for the first time in, like, it was like a porn ad in the back of a National Lampoon magazine. Creaming your jeans, and I was like, this disgusts me, but I'm, you know, 12 years old, so it also arouses me in a strange way.
I'm definitely ordering it, but it's disgusting.
And because it's National Lampoon, you're cracking up with all that jizz squirting out of your wiener.
I'm cracking up with the way that they really...
I don't like any of this.
Cracking up with the way they really... They're sticking it to the Nixon administration.
Oh.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I mean, if you were reading an old National Lampoon, then
it was an old National Lampoon.
You can't
modern look, one.
Yeah, so way to be behind the times, 1973 issue of National Lampoon.
I was reading a modern National Lampoon's Naked Miles, American Pies
presents Road Trip.
Yeah, exactly.
Vacation.
It's just an annotated screenplay.
But so mark your calendar for the Max Fun Drive. It all starts March 14. And don't miss out on the excitement. But
or March 14th, people usually say when they talk about dates.
One last thing before letters. Just a lot of quick thank yous. We got a lot of gifts in the Flophouse flop bag this week. Thanks to Stacey Edwards for the care package. Thanks for the H.P. Lovecraft movies from Andrew, Last Name Withheld. Those are very exciting.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Call of Cthulhu, The Whisperer in Darkness.
Call of Cthulhu I've seen. That one's really good.
Thanks for the HP. Thanks for the Blu-ray of the Boogans for Stuart from someone named Krang the Imboobind.
Wait a minute.
That sounds great. I can't wait to watch that shit.
Thank you.
What cultural heritage do you think that is?
Boogans?
Krang the Imboobind.
I think it's Polish.
Oh, that's not...
Thank you to Ben Newman for the copy of his new book, which is amazing.
Ben Newman is he's been on. We've mentioned him on the show before. He did the April O'Neil pinup art.
Many
episodes ago.
You had a couple of people you wanted to thank.
Oh, right? Yeah, I wanted to say thank you to Adam Goldberg for the. I think it's a DVD copy of No Escape. Hopefully, maybe we'll give it a watch sometime soon.
Not the Ray Liotta No Escape, the new one.
No, that would be inappropriate for the podcast because that's a good, great movie. And I'd also like to put out a extra thank you to Eric North, listener Eric North, who was kind enough to send along some very lovely gifts. Mine is a framed poster of the Masters of Horror series with many autographs. I'm already thinking about my favorite autograph on there, which is Dario Argento's, which is written Argento Dario.
So these were Japanese?
I don't know.
And likewise, thank you for my gift from that, the signed copy of Talking Head 77, which is amazing.
Yeah. And I got a signed picture of Groucho Marx, which is astounding.
There will probably be pictures showing up on the internet. But once again, thank you, Eric North. That was far too kind.
That was way too generous. We have done literally nothing to deserve that.
And lastly, I would like to thank Nathan Rabin, the originator of the phrase Manic Pixie Dream Girl, for the signed picture of Orlando Bloom and Kristen Dunst from Elizabethtown.
Whoa, I know at least one person who would fight you for that.
His name's Orlando Bloom. He's just trying to destroy all evidence of Elizabethtown.
Mm-hmm. He will shoot you full of arrows.
But finally, sorry for the long housekeeping this week. The Flophouse housekeeping, as Stuart has branded it.
It's Flophouse housework, sir.
Oh, sorry.
Row.
I said rah-rah, sir. That's how you should end things.
Yeah.
Rah-rah. But Stuart, I said rah-rah.
But now it's time for everyone's favorite segment, letters.
Raymond.
So this first letter.
So yeah, let's bring the letters on.
Is from Ethan, last name withheld.
Hawk.
Ethan Hawk.
Or from.
And it goes like this.
Letter.
To us, what a Gattaca guy. He wrote it before sunset or sunrise. Or that
he was
other
a real
one.
Daybreaker.
He was dazed and confused.
He slipped that song in while I wasn't paying attention.
No, he wasn't in that. But Reality Bites, he was in that.
Boyhood.
Boyhood.
So,
Coast of Utopia at Lincoln Center.
Letter goes like this. My wife is a nurse, and a year ago she told me about a disorder.
Hello.
She told me about a disorder that makes it feel like you have worms in your scrotum.
Ooh.
Instantly, I knew if I ever had a question for the Flophouse, I could open with some joke about wormy boners, and maybe the Crypt Keeper has this disorder. But now that I look it up, it's actually super gross.
Yeah, it sounds horrifying.
So let's move
you know
on.
What? It sounded like it was pretty fun, and then I looked it up.
With that amazing opening gem.
I mean, with Crypty, it's probably okay because he's a decaying corpse. So.
Yeah.
With that amazing opening gambit.
And with like a real gallows humor, you know?
A question. I'm a screenwriter, and I recently got to pitch some ideas, one of which was a supernatural fantasy adventure so bonkers and high concept that I was really just testing the limits of what I could get away with. I assumed it was an instant, oh, fuck no. But shockingly, that was one of the only ideas that got the go-ahead. So now I'm paralyzed with terror. This idea sounds exactly like a premise for a future episode, my greatest fear as a writer. But apparently there's potential in it. Do you have any overarching tips for how the script can avoid the pitfalls of bad, and even good? What's the thin line that separates a flop from a movie you actually really like? Help me, floppers. You're my only hope. Ethan, last name withheld. So how to avoid writing a movie that shows up on the Flophouse?
It's tough because I feel like there's so many levels between the finished script product and the final product.
Yeah, script is such a kind of prototype blueprint.
As the Oscars showed us by having screenwriting be one of the first, if not the first, award this year.
It was the first award this year. But they do that sometimes. They put out a relatively major award or an important award at the beginning to get you interested.
But the structure this year was to show you like the lifespan of a film from beginning to end.
Yeah, that was theoretically the structure.
Yeah, but it also, the first element that they showed going into that magic movie projector in the beginning was courage. And I was like, fuck you, Oscars. Forget this. But I think I still put it down to, we got to put something at the beginning. It's why Best Supporting Actress so often is like
so
really early.
So don't start
on
your movie with an opening like a monologue from your character explaining some fable that your grandmother told
you. My mother always told me, or there's a prophecy that.
And don't make your character
blah.
A chosen one, because that robs him or her of any sort of personal agency in the story.
Begin the movie in media res.
How about this? Don't assume the audience needs to know everything. But assume they need to know important stuff for the plot later down the road. A lot of our movies we see either over-explain stuff that's not necessary or they don't explain anything, and you're like, who are these people? What's going on?
A thing that should not be explained at all, if you can help it, is character. You should not have a character explain to another character what one character is about.
But what?
We should see what the character is about.
But what if characters should still be welcome, right?
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. This is the USA, after all.
Yeah. It's always funny.
Wait.
That's TBS.
We're always on, never off.
But they know drama. TNT.
So do
it's
all
those
things.
It's not TV, it's HBO. But I think the most important thing is to try to toe the balance between being original, but not so original that your movie makes no sense. We should be able to relate to something in it, but it should surprise us in some way so that we can't guess what the ending is 15 minutes in.
Yeah, I mean, if your basic structure will work, even if you take all the fantasy elements out, you're probably doing the right thing.
So that's our genuine, not that funny answer to your question.
We did all that shit where we did characters welcome and stuff. That's hilarious.
Jokes, kind of.
People are fucking rolling in their seats.
They're rolling in their seats.
They're rolling in their seats. Because they're weeble wobbles. They can't fall down. People are rolling in the deep out there.
Because they're on Molly. Anyway. So,
couldn't see my face just then, but it was complete. What was that all about?
This one goes like this. As one of your few loyal Scottish listeners, I have to congratulate you on the super great job you did of capturing my native brogue. Not since Mike Myers Shrek or Christopher Lambert in Highlander has the Scottish accent sounded so natural. I dare say your mastery of the Scots tongue is even on par with local boy James McAvoy's American accent in Wanted. Cheers, guys. Craig, country withheld. So, thank you for...
Many thanks to ye.
We're a bunch of Scottish fellas.
Oh, wow. That was pretty good.
Yeah, see, I was practicing.
It's me, Scrooge McDuck.
That's pretty good.
Of Scotland.
Sounds like a Russian mobster who killed Scrooge McDuck and was trying to impersonate him.
Yep. It's me, Scrooge McDuck. Give me the...
All
pass
of your
to
blue
your
jeans.
Money bin.
Yeah, I lost key to a money bin. Well,
it's
let
very
me
important. Beagle Boy's hut on tail. Please. For please. Magic of the spell is behind with much wanting for my Wonder One die.
I have been out with much gizmoing of ducks, and now I will launch Pat McQuack into bin. Yes? Nah. Oh, I mean yes. I mean ah, I.
Lafroig.
Boise moi. So why did that letter about Scotland turn into us doing Russian accents?
Because we're more comfortable with that accent.
I guess so.
Clearly.
So this next episode
this next episode of Letters
is Letters is filmed before a live studio audience.
Letters.
Previously on Letters, I'm from Scotland and I like the Scottish accent you did. I'm being
bang
sarcastic.
Bang bang.
Someone's killed a letter. Today on Letters she wrote.
So in this one episode, Elliot referred to the episode of Saved by the Bell.
Are we in the letter now?
Yeah.
What is going on?
Or are you just pre-associating? Is this just
are you even reading a letter? Like, we'll look at the fucking page afterwards and I'll be blank and we'll be like, oh my God, what happened? He's been inventing the letters the whole time.
But they were never real.
And even
nobody likes Dan.
This is an even messier episode than normal.
Mark Messier.
In one episode,
no,
Elliot...
I'm just taunting my brother, yeah?
Elliot referred to the episode of Saved by the Bell, or SBTB, as we bellheads like to call it.
Bellheads.
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
Where Zach...
Savies.
Where Zach finds out that he's 1/64th Native American. He says that there's no B-plot, which is super weird, because the B-plot is so much crazier than the A-plot. Holy shit, dudes, no way.
What was the B-plot? I don't remember.
In it, Jesse Spano, environmentalist liberal lady... finds out that she's 1/64th slave fucking trader. Apparently her great grandparents or whatever captained a slave ship. She spends the whole episode trying to make it up to Lisa Turtle, who is black, by, I don't know, carrying her books or some shit.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Lisa Turtle weirdly doesn't seem to care at all. It's wicked bonkers. Ryan, last name withheld.
Well, why would Lisa Turtle care?
No.
She's very wealthy.
Yeah. Come on. Her family were probably slave owners, too.
And in a way...
In the 1970s.
In a way, she has enslaved Screech.
With the power of love.
With her siren song.
The sweetest slavery.
says, "Oh, sweet turtle, thou singest so well.
Pull thyself into thine shell, but take me with you. I will share those tight confines until the end of time." That's the end of the couplet that he wrote her.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you for that, I guess.
Slow and steady may win the race, sweet turtle, but I shall win your heart.
So
I am no Jack Rabbit, though I will jack off to your picture in the yearbook. Love, Screech.
Those couplets were also reappropriated for the Entourage TV show. Sweetest turtle. Greatest of all the four dudes or five dudes, I don't remember.
However many there are in the Entourage.
How backwards thou capest.
Thou once twert stout, but now I find thine weight has much droppeth.
So stupid.
How goest thine tequila business?
So this last letter. Dear Flophouse Management, I'm writing you to inquire about your Flophouse rates. How much does it cost for a bed for the night, and do you require payment in advance? I am a little tramp who has been looking after an adopted kid for the past 5 years. I'm currently on the run from the authorities after they showed up at our house and tried to take the kid to an orphanage. Fortunately, I climbed over some rooftops and jumped down to beat the guy in the back of their truck, and thus I successfully outwitted them. Hopefully, your Flophouse can now provide us with a reasonably priced bed for the night and won't try to kidnap the kid to get the $1,000 reward for the police station. If your Flophouse doesn't allow children, that's okay, as I can sneak it in through the side window when you're not looking. I hope you are kind and sympathetic, Flophouse, and that our shenanigans will bring a smile to your heart and perhaps a tear. And you will not be tempted to turn us into the authorities for the ample reward you would receive. I anxiously await your reply. Yours most truly, Charlie, last name withheld. P.S. Do not read this letter out loud because it's only 1921 and talkies have not been invented yet.
I think we were just fan fictioned, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Fictionist.
Yep. That was fan fiction for the movie Dutch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Starring Ed O'Neill.
Yeah. They start out, those two start out at odds.
Yeah.
But then they learn to respect one another. Well,
sure,
God
once he
it.
Starts showing him those nudie cards that he has with him.
I remember that part.
That was the kid.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Disney, the kid. Disney's meets Dracula. The kid. It was Disney's The Kid, starring Bruce Willis as the grown up version of the kid.
With like an airplane on
I
the cover.
I have to assume
that
the estate of Charlie Chaplin was like, Disney, you're not calling that movie The Kid. Call it Disney's The Kid. Yeah, there's an airplane and stuff.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I think they're playing Wild Wild West in the soundtrack and the commercials.
Yeah, that's one of the many movies that I have a very distinct memory of, like the DVD cover to it, but I have no idea what the movie's about at all.
Is that the one where there's angels in the outfield?
No, you're thinking of Fletch.
So you're thinking of the one where there's a Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I am thinking
when
of.
When he was the rookie in the Little Big League.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And there's that orangutan that plays baseball.
It was a chimpanzee. The orangutan
what are
was
you
a bellboy.
Oh, okay.
He checked in.
No, wait. Dunstan was a chimpanzee, too.
Dunstan can check in, but he can never check out.
Oh, no. Freddy Krueger killed Dunstan. The Big Green. Anyway, that was another kid's sports movie.
So, thank you to all of the letter writers.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate it.
May your pens ever be filled with ink.
May your computers ever be able to type letters on them.
I thought Stewart's was much more eloquent.
Mine's more accurate.
And heartfelt. You laughed at me.
I take it back now. I take it back.
So this is the last segment of the podcast where we recommend
it's
movies.
It's called Sleepy Dreams. That's where we discuss what we'll be dreaming about tonight.
Okay.
Hmm. I'm going to dream that we're all in a rock and roll band, but the lead singer is my toddler son.
Okay.
He's the biggest sensation superstar, but I still have to cut up his food for him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to dream that we live inside a sandwich that a giant eats.
No, that's frightening.
It's going to be very scary.
I guess the trick will be to eat as much of the sandwich as I can before the giant's teeth mush me into paste. Mm-hmm. So I'll get a little bit of enjoyment.
Like if I'm going to die now, my last moments will be spent full of sandwich.
I'm taking you with me, giant. Bang, bang, bang.
He would shrug off those bullets.
No, but he's firing them from inside his mouth.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, okay. That would be pretty
Little
painful.
Shop of Horrors style. I mean, it didn't work in that, but
there's a giant in that movie.
It's called.
I need to watch it.
It's called The Giant versus the Little Shop of Horrors. It makes the shop look that much littler.
So this is the part of the podcast where we're recommending a movie we actually like, as opposed to Jim and the Holograms. Mm. I'm going to recommend a movie that's kind of along the same theme.
It's called Jim and the Holograms.
So all you cowpokes and cowgirls out there, I'm going to recommend a movie called Slow West. Now, Slow West is a little Western movie.
Because of the robot with the holograms in Slow West?
Yeah. So Slow West came out last year. There was a robot with holograms. It's a artsy little Western movie. And it follows
a lovesick
young man who is on his way west after the love of his life. Who has run off to the west with her father, running from the law, and he falls in with a grim bounty hunter with a mysterious past, played by one Michael Fassbender. Along the way, they run into a variety of interesting characters, including the guy whose name just slipped out of my head, but was great in Bloodline and some other stuff. And it is a movie that has kind of a grim but interesting sense of humor, and it's shot well, and it's acted well, and I would recommend it if you're looking for a Western that is a little bit different.
I rewatched a movie recently that I've seen several times before, but still held up like... gangbusters, and that is Miller's Crossing, the Coen Brothers film that is one of my favorites. It is a movie that the first time I saw it, I was less than impressed by, but I think it's a movie that you have to watch once kind of to just understand what's happening in it.
Uh-huh.
And because it's got a very convoluted plot, and you have to like just sort of figure out what everyone's motivations for doing everything is. And then, but once you have that, you can focus on the characters. You can sort of like, speculate about what deeper emotions are sort of under the surface of each of the characters and each of the scenes as they make the choices that they make. And it's a very, violent movie. It's a very exciting movie. It's a noir based in part on The Glass Key, and also I think a little bit on Red Harvest.
There's a lot of Red Harvest in there.
General
Dashiell Hammett oeuvre.
Yeah, but I recommend it quite a lot. It's a very sort of poetic movie for being a gangster film, and it's beautifully shot, among other things.
I remembered who I was thinking of. His name's Ben Mendelsohn.
Yeah.
I'm going to recommend a movie that I feel is on similar themes to Jim and the Holograms.
Okay.
It is also about women coming of age in a way after dealing with the death of a father and having to live with an aunt. And it's called Cría Cuervos. It's directed by Carlos Saura. And it's from the mid-70s. And it's about these three sisters. One, the middle sister is 8 years old, and she's the main character. And their father dies, and they're sent to live with an aunt who's trying to take care of them best as she can, but she's having trouble because the middle sister is really still grieving for the death of their mother, which happened a little bit earlier. And she is kind of drifting through life and has a number of strange experiences. She has kind of visions of her mother speaking to her, and she finds a lot of solace in this one pop song called Por Qué Te Vas, that plays a couple times and is very catchy. But it's a real, like, one of these movies from the 70s where I feel like there was this international explosion, for whatever reason, in movies that kind of captured what it feels like to be a child at various either happy or unhappy points in your life. And this is one of those, and I really liked it a lot, and it kind of captured for me what it is like to be a young child who is not connecting with the world around them. There's a lot in it that's also allegorical about Spain under Franco in the 70s, but we don't really have to get into that. That's nothing. That's you can watch.
No, let's dig into it.
Well, The Devil's Backbone.
Kind of, except that's set in the 30s, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right.
But you don't have to know anything about Spanish history to get something out of it. It just kind of things about the movie might make more sense to you. But it was really good, and I recommend it. Cría Cuervos.
So
we did it.
Come to the end of another one. Next time.
This is a perfect episode. 200. No flubs, no jubs.
Not except a single jub.
Except for just now when you said the word jub. That was the first flub.
Oh, wow. Okay. So 98%. That's not bad.
That was 98. That was 2% of all the words said in the episode. Wow. It was the word jub because we said 50 words.
We're known for being tight.
Tight and concise. This almost an hour and a half long podcast.
Mm.
Some of that
so
was,
you could go to a feature length film, just put on this podcast, and it would be like when what's that band you like so much? The Flaming Lips did that song that you liked so much.
Wait, what?
Where you should go to that Microcosmos and just put on their record and you're like, this is great.
Yeah, you should go to a movie that's about 90 minutes long and
put
these earbuds. Yeah, pretend this is the DVD commentary and see how it
I mean, it really only works for
up.
Jim and the holograms.
See, and only barely then.
A lot of this movie is not about letters. I don't understand why they're talking about
If you can find a movie that where it's like Dark Side of the Moon and Wizard of Oz, where it matches up perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Or Microcosmos, which I just talked about.
Okay.
The bug documentary?
Yeah. That's what the Flaming Lips did.
I didn't know that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Isn't Soft Bulletin supposed to match up with Microcosmos?
I prefer my lips inflammable.
Oh. Well. Dan.
The ball's in your court.
I got to check out that Microcosmos thing, because 420, dude.
Oh, my God, you're still blazed.
Oh, man, dank buds.
Oh, he's not too high to call back.
Yeah. Good night, everyone. I've been Dan McCoy.
Oh, I'm still Stuart Wellington.
And I think I'm Elliot Kalin. Let me check. Yes, I wrote my name on the label of my Mack Weldon underpants.
Good night, everyone.
Sam Neill, in what dimension would you not need eyes?
I don't know. The first dimension? Wait, which is Flatland?
Flatland is 2D, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Or maybe I think it's 2D, yeah.
Oh, man, Arch, you are gonna be a fucking problem.
Speaking about arching.
Archie, get down.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.
I'm Allegra Ringo, a dog owner.
And I'm Renee Colbert, a dog wanter. And we host a show called Can I Pet Your Dog? The podcast for unapologetic dog lovers. You can find us every Tuesday on MaximumFun.org or on iTunes.
So, now what is this? Is it just a podcast where all we do is talk about dogs? Yeah, sort of. We definitely have a segment called Dogs We Met This Week, where we tell you about, you know, dogs we met this week.
We also have a segment called Dog Heroes, as well as Cool Dog Tech and Stupid Dog Tech.
We also have some of your favorite celebrities. Lin-Manuel Miranda, who did Hamilton, has been a guest. We've got Leslie Margarita. We've had Nicole Byer, Ann Wheaton. All the best dog-related celebrities.
So check us out every Tuesday on MaximumFun.org or on iTunes. Can I pet your dog? Can I pet your dog?
Renee and Allegra.
C-I-P-Y-O.